Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America with a new edition of the Whistleblower Report. Today, the Environment Report. And our expert is Dane Wigginton, the lead researcher for geoengineeringwatch.org. And Dane has recently joined our Whistleblower Report team at Truth for Health Foundation, as well as our Scientific Advisory Council. We will be presenting his Geoengineering Watch news alert as part of our Environment Report on the Whistleblower Report on a regular basis. And we hope that you will use this opportunity to share this work with those in your neighborhood, those in your family and your social media networks. The climate engineering problem is real, it is dire, it is devastating our human health, and one of the reasons that Truth for Health Foundation is taking this so seriously and including it as part of our programming, because we are concerned about the health of everyone on the planet, as well as the health of our animals and wildlife, plants, insects, and the microbiome. All the way around, the climate engineering, social media discounting it as a conspiracy theory is flagrantly wrong. And this climate engineering has been going on by governments around the world, in particular the United States and the United States military operations. And the geoengineering climate modification is devastating in the severity of the damage. So please pay attention to these warnings. This is not the, quote, climate change, end quote, narrative that the politicians have been ginning up and blaming on cow farts and human CO2 emissions. This is systematic, highly sophisticated climate engineering by spraying chemicals into our skies that are toxic to all life, including aluminum nanoparticles and barium salts and sulfur and other compounds. It is truly a very serious situation, and we are providing alerts through the Whistleblower Reports to help extend the geoengineeringwatch.org efforts that have been ongoing for the last 20 years. But the situation has become much more urgent and much more damaging. I'm seeing damage in my medical practice related to what is being sprayed in our skies. And it's something that we urge you to do your best, be a part of the solution. And now here's Dane Wigginton with our Environment Report.
Our collective efforts can absolutely still make a difference, even at this late hour. Moving on, about those that are subsidized to plunder what's left of the planet. From banktrack.org, this headline, "Still Butchering the Planet." And from the report, "The Big Name Financiers, Bankrolling Livestock Corporations, and Climate Change," this is a 2024 update. They state, a new report released today by environmental organization Feedback finds that since the Paris Agreement was signed, over $500 billion in credit has been provided globally to the world's largest 55 industrial livestock companies. They say that this is equivalent to $76.9 billion per year between 2015 and 2022 provided by the world's private financial institutions. And yes, I understand no one wants to hear this. Instant rejection of any information that in any way casts a shadow over the planetary loot, plunder, pillage, and pollute party. But unfortunately, denial won't save us from the seeds we are collectively sowing as a species. Paying corporate industrial livestock companies to cut down rainforests in order to raise cows is a problem. Industrial farmed everything is a problem, not to mention being horrifically cruel to living creatures. But not to worry. The manipulators of the matrix now say we can all eat garbage-fed snakes, pythons. Think I'm joking? I'm not. From Weather Channel and NewsNation.com, study finds pythons may provide sustainable meat for food insecurity. Wow, what a relief. I was worried for a moment there. The NewsNation report then states, pythons may offer a flexible and efficient response to food insecurity. The snakes may be some of the most resource-efficient animals to farm. Researchers observed rapid growth in pythons on diets of food waste proteins. Is that like the now horrifically contaminated farm fields due to fertilizing them with sewage sludge? Just keeps getting worse and worse, doesn't it? And what about the animals? They need to eat also, don't they? No, that's no longer allowed. From KOIN.com, this headline, approved killing of sea lions in the Columbia River likely to begin next week. Report says sea lions are moving upriver to feast on spawning smelt and migrating salmon, wildlife officials said. The sea lion removals, or cullings, are carried out by state and tribal officials each year. The report stated that the sea lions are, quote, costing the region millions in direct investments and also in opportunity costs associated with lost fisheries, restricted power generation, and constraints on land and water use. Can't have any pesky, miraculous mammals affecting the bottom line, can we? Humor aside, I can't begin to express my angst at the actions of the so-called human race, the naked slaughter of any life form, including our own, that gets in the way of the predator-parasite class or of their profits. For so many years, I spent countless hours alone with sea lions in remote locations along the shores of the Channel Islands off the coast of California. They are absolutely miraculous creatures, intelligent, curious, playful. They were my friends. And now, because they're desperate for anything to eat in our dying world, they too will join the long and growing list of systematic slaughter. And this footnote, the U.S. military is allowed to kill countless in the millions marine animals along the North American West Coast, all in the name of war games and bombing practice. Welcome to the asylum that's on the fast track to planetary omnicide. Back to the food menu, which is shrinking fast. From CBS News, drought takes devastating toll on Louisiana's crawfish industry. One of the driest seasons on record last year means the harvest field didn't get enough rain. Weeks of triple-digit heat sent the crustaceans burrowing deeper into the mud, many unable to emerge. No more crayfish on the menu. But there's always lobster, right? Not so much, at least not for long. From WBUR.org, new data shows nearly 40% drop in Maine's young lobster population in recent years. From CTV News Atlantic, lobster fisheries report serious decline in catches. Well, there's always crabs to eat, right? Again, not for much longer. From Popular Mechanics, this previous headline, 10 billion crabs suddenly vanished from the Bering Sea, and now they say we know why. And you'll never guess why. They died. What a surprise. Due to superheating seas, which completely alters ocean chemistry, including oxygen content. And this is just one sample of what's unfolding all over the world. Global pelagic fish populations, the food fish, down 90%. Global bluefin tuna, down 98%. On a previous broadcast, I covered that nearly a billion salmon have now died in salmon farms around the world. Northern and southern hemispheres. Not that anyone should eat farmed salmon in the first place because it's one of the most toxic foods in the world, literally. Are those filleted farmed pythons sounding any better yet? Give it time. It grows on you. Maybe. Back to meltdown. Further fueled overall by climate engineering operations. From the Times of India, heat wave record index of 62.3°C scorches Rio de Janeiro. Mentioned that earlier. It's about 144 degrees, I believe. That's the feels-like temperature. From the UK Guardian, South Sudan closes schools in preparation for 45°C heat wave, and that's the ambient temperature. So the feels-like temperature much higher still. 45°C is about, I believe, 113, 114 degrees Fahrenheit. And if you add humidity, if you added, say, a 40% humidity to that, because there's always some humidity, and it's getting higher in many regions all over the globe, that would be a heat index of about 145, same as was just recorded in Rio de Janeiro. This report says authorities advise parents to keep children indoors during extreme heat wave. This is, again, in South Sudan, expected to last 2 weeks. Civil conflict has plagued the East African country, which also suffers drought and floods. Again, climate engineering controls the spigot. And Africa has been subjected to these covert experiments for so very long. Why do you think so many countries are finally forced to allow U.S. occupation? That's why you have AFRICOM, U.S. military in Africa, 800 bases around the world. They don't let us in because they love us so much. The World Food Program, in its latest country brief, said South Sudan continues to face a dire humanitarian crisis due to violence, economic instability, and climate change. And by the way, when I criticize empire, the U.S. empire, I'm not condoning any other country. Too many people have been so trained and programmed to think dichotomously. If you're not for the blue team, you must be for the red team, or vice versa. It's not like George Bush, as I quoted in a recent broadcast, in his moronic statement on the deck of a Navy ship after 9/11, stating you're either with us or you're with the terrorists, and really, is there a difference? From the UK Guardian, 46°C summer days and supercell storms are Britain's future, and now it's our last chance to prepare. 46°C, what's that up to, something in the range of 115, 16? Pretty hot for the UK, isn't it? And they're already telling you it's coming. From Radio Free Asia, more than 3,000 Tibetans evacuated as wildfire rages in a province there. Consider that they just went through a flash freeze, a chemical flash freeze that was estimated to kill from 2 to 3 million animals, livestock included, and now it's burning to the ground. Just like what we saw in Texas, same scenario. Let's stand back and take a wider view of the overall horizon. Ocean temperatures are the bottom line factor regarding the temperature of the planet. The climate engineers can and are orchestrating temporary and toxic surface terrestrial cooldowns with chemical ice nucleation, cloud seeding, but every operation they carry out comes at the cost of an even worse overall warming and even more damage done to the planetary life support systems. Global sea surface temperatures continue their nonstop escalation into ever hotter record high territory. For over a year, there's no end in sight. And why would there be? How could there be? For over a year, every single day, sea surface temperatures were hotter than the day before, and it's still continuing. If that doesn't alarm you, it certainly should. From the NewYorker.com, why is the sea so hot? Report says, a startling rise in sea surface temperatures suggests that we may not understand how fast the climate is changing. Can the past year, they say, be explained by what's already known about the climate? Or are there forces at work, they say, that haven't been accounted for? And if it's the latter, does this mean that projections of warming already decidedly grim are underestimating the dangers? The NewYorker.com report then cites this direct quote from Gavin Schmidt, the director of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies. Schmidt said, "We don't really know what's going on." Gavin, we agree on that. You definitely don't know what's going on, or at least you're not willing to tell the truth about it. And there's this statement from Brian McNulty. He's a hurricane researcher at the University of Miami. He said, first, it's not like we're breaking records by a little bit now and then. It's like the whole climate just fast-forwarded by 50 or 100 years. Translation. What they said was a worst-case scenario 100 years from now is already happening. Think about that. We knew at geoengineeringwatch.org, we knew it was exponentially worse than anything we're being told. Now they're starting to admit to it because they can't hide it. How could we know and they didn't know? Two potential reasons. They're criminally ignorant of the very field of study in which we're told they're experts, or they're lying. Again, take your pick. From NBC News, 12 months of record ocean heat has scientists puzzled and concerned. From the NBC article, the huge temperature anomaly which climate change alone is unlikely to explain. What is this missing issue that none of them seem to be able to identify? What could it possibly be? They say, as I just stated, every day for the last 12 months, the world's sea surface temperatures have broken records. Every single day warmer than the last. Human-caused climate change is likely playing a role, they say, but is probably not the only factor. Climate models predict a steady rise in sea surface temperatures, but not this quickly. So what is missing from this equation? I wonder what it could possibly be. Look up, and you'll have your answer. Please stay with me. There's more from Forbes.com. Current climate, big risks as oceans overheat. While people may think more often about air temperatures, oceans, which cover 70% of the planet, are a vital climate regulator because they soak up heat trapped in the atmosphere by carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases. Even a seemingly small increase in ocean temperatures can be enough to transform marine biodiversity and change ocean chemistry. I just mentioned that earlier. It's not just transform. We are hurtling toward what's known as Canfield Ocean, lifeless, superheated, stratified, oxygenless dead zones. That's our destination, and it's far closer than almost anybody dares to imagine. And keep in mind that thermal expansion is yet another factor contributing to sea level rise. On that note, from the UK Guardian, Massachusetts town grapples with sea level rise after sand barrier fails. A $500,000 sand dune collapsed in days after being erected, and residents are looking for help to protect their homes. Water went from the ocean into people's living rooms and kitchens. And let's stop there. That's just a snapshot example of increasingly futile efforts to hold back rising seas. $500,000 sand dune, of course, that didn't work. Just the beginning. From counterpunch.org, Greenland cascading 30 million tons of ice melt per hour. That's a lot, isn't it? Greenland's rate of melt in summer was something that we knew about, the report says, and it was gradually increasing. Then suddenly, they say, it's multiplied itself by about 8 times, 800% more. They just didn't know what happened. They still can't figure it out. Let's keep going to make a little more complete picture here. Heating seas, as I mentioned a moment ago, also radically drops oxygen levels. From PHYS.org, this new headline, hypoxia, that's low oxygen levels, is widespread and increasing in the ocean off the Pacific Northwest coast, study shows. Low oxygen conditions that pose a significant threat to marine life are widespread and increasing in coastal Pacific Northwest ocean waters as the climate warms, a new study shows. Marine life is collapsing everywhere, all over the globe. And that collapse is accelerating wildly. It's happening terrestrially also. When the oceans die, we die. When the forests die, we die. When the insects die, we die. When the ozone layer collapses, we die. Again, I could go on and on, but you get the point. All of this is converging at once. More die-off breaking headlines, the kind that Matrix Media never mentions while they are pushing scripted mass distraction and division, bread and circus. From the Anchorage Daily News, caribou declines causing angst for Alaska hunters are part of a wider North American trend, reports as Alaska subsistence hunters struggling with caribou decline and lost hunting opportunities got a message at a gathering in Anchorage last week. They are not alone. Across the circumpolar north, caribou herds in North America and reindeer herds in Eurasia are declining. That's a gross understatement. And in some cases, dramatically. In eastern Canada, herds that used to be huge have crashed spectacularly. The George River herd, which numbered over 800,000 as was North America's largest herd in the 1990s, has declined by 99%, down to 7,200 animals from 800,000, and is showing no signs of recovery, even though hunting was halted in 2013, 11 years ago. The Bathurst herd of the Northwest Territories and Nuvatu has declined at a similarly spectacular rate, from 450,000 animals in 86 to an estimated 6,240 by 2021. Though predators like wolves and bears have been blamed for some herds' problems, Alaska fish and game biologist Jim Dow said he was skeptical about that as an explanation, and so he should be. It continues, he believes based on his observations that the icing events that are becoming more frequent as the climate warms were tipping points for the Western Arctic herd, and he used photographs of dead caribou found in iced over sites to illustrate his point. Ice created by winter rains is known to lock away the food that the animals eat. In years with a lot of icing events, the caribou were often skinny by the end of winter or dead. Yes, icing events increasingly wreaking havoc all over the world. Temporary toxic surface cool downs with catastrophic consequences. 3 million animals in Tibet this year. In previous years, 200,000 alpacas in South America, 100,000 cattle in South Dakota. These are only a few examples, again, from past years. This is just the tip of the proverbial iceberg. None of this is just nature. It's certainly not natural. It's chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. With satellite imagery, we can even see this process on ocean surfaces in the Arctic. It's part of how they've masked the total polar meltdown, chemical ice nucleation. In 2014, when Boston had all the record snows, we had ice all over Boston Harbor with sea temperatures of 40 degrees. How can there be ice on 40 degree sea surfaces when ocean water doesn't freeze until 28.4 degrees? What's wrong with this equation? Again, these are patented processes. If you don't know about chemical ice nucleation, it is a profound science, absolutely profound, shockingly so, and it is a core part of climate engineering that only geoengineeringwatch.org is desperately trying to expose. And others pretend this is just nature and a sign of a, quote, coming ice age. That is covering the tracks of the climate engineers exactly what they want. Please research, investigate, use your sense of reason, and don't help to cover the tracks of the climate engineers when they're engineering winter weather all over the globe. On that note, this week, this headline from the dailyexpress.us, tens of millions brace for bone-chilling temperatures across U.S. in huge weather warning. They say millions of Americans are bracing for a sudden turn to below freezing temperatures across much of the country, with some regions witnessing a dramatic swing. Winter weather whiplash again. Expect this engineered cool down to be super sensationalized in matrix media. Manipulated moisture flows from the Pacific will eventually merge, with moisture being steered north from the record warm Gulf of Mexico. The land-based network of climate engineering frequency transmitters are utilized to manipulate and scatter the moisture flows over the widest possible region. Welcome to solar radiation management operations and engineered winter. Many climate engineering elements are electrically conductive. When the weather systems are saturated with these elements, the frequency transmissions create a repelling effect. This scatters the atmospheric moisture, as mentioned. Chemical ice nucleation cloud seeding operations then initiate various forms of frozen material, depending on the conditions, to fall from the skies, along with dropping temperatures due to the cooler air masses that are created with these endothermic reacting elements. Cool air is dense. It falls to the surface. Thundersnow, massive hail, sleet, so-called grapple, cotton ball-sized so-called snowflakes, all are part of the equation. In fact, snow is scheduled to fall as far south as Mexico. While we've had balmy temperatures in much of Canada for the entire winter season, last Monday, the AccuWeather.com extended schedule weather for today in Oak Run, California, which is my neck of the woods, for Saturday, the 23rd of March, was for snow showers with scheduled daytime temperatures of 51 degrees and nighttime temperatures lows of 41 degrees. Question: why would so-called weather experts even entertain the idea days in advance, almost a week in advance, that frozen material would fall from the sky on a specific day at temperatures so far above freezing? Unless, of course, they're reading a script of the scheduled weather, which is exactly what's occurring. For those that don't know, Raytheon does all the weather modeling for the National Weather Service, and Lockheed Martin does it for NOAA. Private defense contractors neck deep in geoengineering patents are engineering the scheduled weather and writing the script. That's how it works. But the scheduled weather script has yet again been altered. No surprise, frozen material is no longer scheduled for my location. It seems they just couldn't pull it off. Please search and review the engineering winter section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org to learn more. And what will we face after the engineered winter weather scenarios? Flash drought and firestorms will likely be on the near-term horizon. The fun never stops in the climate-engineered planetary asylum. Question: will the human race survive itself? Answer: if we remain on the current course, definitely not. And for the record, that isn't an opinion. It's an extremely near-term statistical fact. How many have taken notice that in most post-apocalyptic movies, there's still some level of a functional environment? Trees, animals, the basics for life and survival. But again, as already stated, if we remain on the current course, far sooner than almost any dare to imagine, our once thriving planet will be a lifeless ball of rock spinning in the vast expanse of space, a true sister planet to Venus. Don't believe it? Doesn't matter. That is the trajectory we are on scientifically. Can we alter our trajectory? How can we ever know? Unless we try with every fiber of our being. And if we don't, how can we face ourselves in the mirror or look our children in the eyes? True and unshakable peace and solace can't be dependent on anything external. Never forget that. We, each of us, all of us, must decide why we are here at this greatest of all crossroads in the journey and fate of the human race, indeed of all life on Earth, what's left of it. What greater calling could we be given than to commit every fiber of our being to standing against the gathering tide of total insanity, dedicating every fiber of our being to saving and salvaging what's yet left of the planet's life support systems, to know at your core that you face the gathering storm head on, without yielding? What life could be better lived than such a life? No matter how dark the horizon, we can yet make a difference, but the effort will take all of us. Every single day counts. Check the activist suggestions link on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for specific instructions on how you can help to move this fight forward. Please make your voice heard while it can still make a difference. We are not alone in this battle. Never give up, ever. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington from geoengineeringwatch.org.